Forget that.
Okay, so at this point we are recording, and just so we don't have a problem, you know, 4 years from now, you're go ahead and just tell me your name and that you understand you're cool with me recording this.
Yeah, my name is Brian Vibberts, aka Dr. Vib, in the house. Yeah, I'm okay with it being recorded.
Thank you. So I sort of put together a little. I mean, I literally did this in like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think what I want to do.
A couple talking points.
Yeah, we're just going to kind of fire a bunch of these. Why don't we start with if you want to do it.
Before we get started, Brian, I just want to let you know. For like when you talked about going through some of the songs, I have some like just some general kind of things, you know, I mean specific, but not getting too much into a long story because I feel like we don't want to give it away.
Exactly. You know what I mean? No.
Yeah,
you're
okay. All right.
And yeah, in fact, not to, you know, I don't want to be like too much of a tease, but no, I'm even okay with, you know, if you really want to hear the story, you know, you got to come to one of our events or something.
Right,
I don't know. But yeah, you're right. Just a little 1 to 2 minute, if that, just a,
right.
So why don't we just do a couple? I just got to capture some stuff for Maddie. So I'm going to introduce you and we'll just kind of see where it goes. So let's try it. Hey guys, how are you? It's Brad Sundberg in the studio with MJ, and I am here with my good friend, Brian Vibberts. We are so excited to be joining you guys in Madrid. Brian is going to be bringing it, and man, that just sucks. I hate it's the promo stuff that's so hard. Conversation.
Yeah, I know.
Easy.
That's right. Conversation's easy.
Okay, let me just try. I want to kind of I want to throw it to you somehow. I just don't really have a. Hey guys, how are you? It's Brad Sundberg in the studio with MJ. We are going to be in Madrid, Spain, one of my favorite destinations, and I'm bringing my good friend Brian Vibberts. Brian, just give us a quick little summary of maybe some of the people you've worked with and what we can expect.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's good to be here and looking forward to being in Madrid. First of all, it's good to be here and it's good to, you know, it's going to be, wait, let me get that again.
You're fine.
Yeah. It's good to be here and it's going to be great to be in Brussels. So over the, I mean, I've been doing this since 91 and I've been fortunate enough to win 7 Grammys, believe it or not. So, but recently I've worked with Billie Eilish and Sting and also some films like Coco and Turning Red and some Star Trek stuff. But also, you know, the list is long. It's, you know, Mariah Carey and Paul Simon and Billy Joel. But I've been fortunate and it's great to be here with you.
Awesome. Let's just throw some lines back and forth. I just want to give Maddie a bunch of stuff to work with.
Yeah.
Brian, it's going to be great having you in Madrid. I cannot wait to spend some time with you in the studio.
I cannot wait to be in Madrid. It'll be my first time in Spain, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Brian, I can't wait to hang out with you in Brussels. You are going to love the venue that we're going to and meet an amazing group of people.
Brussels is going to be awesome. I can't wait. All of these are a highlight every single time we do this. So Brussels, it's going to be awesome.
Awesome. Hey guys, it's Brad Sundberg in the studio with MJ, and I am honored and thrilled to be here with my good friend, 7-time Grammy winner, Brian Vibberts. Brian, I cannot wait to spend some time with you coming up in Madrid. Just give us a quick idea of a couple of people that you've worked with.
Well, let's see. Recently, Billie Eilish, Sting, Blake Shelton, and films such as Coco and Turning Red, bunch of Disney stuff, and also Star Trek's Strange New Worlds. I've been busy.
Man, I almost said may the force be with you.
I did long, work on Rogue One, and that's Star Wars, so I'll accept it.
live long and prosper. All right. I don't know what Maddie's going to do with any of these, but
that's
let's just keep going. Hey, guys, how are you? It's Brad Sundberg in the studio with MJ. I'm here with my good friend, Brian Vibberts. Brian, just for fun, can you remember the first time that you met Michael Jackson? That's pretty funny. I'm sorry. Let me mute that. Okay, let's do that. So I'm going to ask you about when you first met Michael.
Yeah, sure.
We'll just bang through a few of these. Hey guys, how are you? It's Brad Sundberg in the studio with MJ. It's my honor to be here with my good friend, Brian Vibberts, 7-time Grammy winner, Brian Vibberts. Brian, we hung out a lot in New York on the History album, but do you remember the first time that you met Michael Jackson?
Yeah. And it's funny because I've, you know, in my career, I've worked with a lot of famous people, but, you know, Michael Jackson is just like a notch or a couple notches above everyone else. So, you know, that vibe in the studio was, you know, extra special. And I didn't meet him right away, because when we first started in the studio, it was just like the team, right? We were just like getting ready for everything, preparing. And but the first time I met Michael, actually, it was like a quick introduction, not really too eventful. But, you know, later on, it became more and more personal as you know, the session went on. So, but the first time was, you know, it was a quick introduction, and we just got started to work, you know?
Awesome. Let's try that one more time. I'll lead it in. Brian, do you remember the first time you met Michael Jackson? I mean, you've worked with everybody, but what was that like?
Meeting Michael Jackson, even though I've worked with a lot of famous people throughout the years, you know, he was a notch above everybody. So it was extra special. And, you know, when he came in, it was a quick introduction. It was just kind of, you know, I'm used to working in the studio, like, you know, right? So we were trained to work with famous people, but it wasn't very eventful. You know, to me it was personally, but it was a quick, you know, introduction. And then we just kind of got started with Bruce in the room. And so then it was off to the races.
Awesome. Were you a Michael Jackson fan before you worked with him?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like listening to his music. I used to roller skate to like Off the Wall songs, you know, when I was younger, and then listening to Michael in high school, I never thought that I would actually be in the studio with him.
Well, I can't wait for you to be able to share some stories of your adventures with Michael Jackson when we're together in Madrid.
Yeah, I can't wait. Madrid, here we come.
All right, let's pick that up. Brian, I can't wait for you to be able to. One more for me. I got to adjust my mic. I have the worst mic stand. I need to like invest in something decent. All right. Brian, I cannot wait to hang out with you in Brussels. I want to hear these MJ stories, even though you and I live some of them together. Can't wait to hang out with you.
It's going to be fun in Brussels, and we're going to expand on all of these stories and really get into the details. So everyone, you know, hears, you know, expanded and more about really what was going on. We're just giving you a touch of it now, but we'll really get into it when we're there in Brussels.
Awesome. Cannot wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just, I know it's kind of awkward, but let's just keep doing these.
No, we're good.
I really appreciate it. Yeah. And you know, now I'm kind of calming. I haven't done one of these in like months. I mean,
looks
I haven't
like
done
you do them every day when you're in Disney.
Well, no. But I mean, like a Zoom call.
Okay.
I've got my new computer. I had to download Zoom onto it, and I'm just like, I don't remember how to do this. I'm just like, a year ago we were all just like experts, and yeah. I haven't done one in a while. Okay, let's. Maybe we'll talk just a little bit about Hit Factory. Brian, I remember the first time I met you was in 1994 at Hit Factory in New York, 421 West 54th Street. Just give us a quick little recap of what the vibe was like at Hit Factory when you guys found out Michael Jackson was coming to settle in there for a while.
Right. Well, first of all, obviously it was a big deal, and it was huge, but we couldn't tell anybody. We couldn't tell anybody who was coming in, but obviously I was told, because, you know, I was being put on the session. But I mean, you know, we changed the locks. We had different passwords for the to get into areas of the studio, and we the studio built a secure tape vault for Michael, and you know, we figured out how would he come in, you know, in the car into the freight elevator and get in that way. So there was a lot of preparation that went into it. So it was a big deal.
And you were right there from day one.
From day one.
I think you and I together.
Yes.
It's going to be great sharing these stories when we're together in Madrid. I know people are going to absolutely love meeting you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't wait to go there.
I think it's going to be great sharing a lot of these stories when we're together in Brussels. The people in Brussels are going to have an absolute blast hanging out with you.
I can't wait to go to Brussels. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I talked over you. I don't know if we need that again.
Nah, I got to take a sip of water anyway.
Okay. Oh, well, all right.
You're going right for the vodka.
No.
All right, let's do a little, don't they call it a donut? Isn't a donut when you end it? I forget. I haven't been in a commercial in years. Didn't they just call it a donut? When you end that doesn't sound,
I know you're talking about that. I don't think it's a donut. It doesn't sound
right. Familiar. There was something about just putting a tail on something.
You must be hungry.
I must be hungry. All right, let's do Brussels one more time. We've done a bunch of them, but Brian, it's going to be absolutely a blast hanging out with you. Brian, it's going to be an absolute blast hanging out with you in Brussels. I know the MJ fans are going to love meeting you.
I can't wait.
You can give me a little more, but
keep it simple. Yeah, I can do a good little bit more.
Keep it simple. All right. I'm going to ask you, are you cool? Just something, don't go into a long story, but just something that you learned from Michael.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Sure.
Don't do your big one. I mean, save that.
No. I know. Yeah. I know what to save.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Brian, hey guys, it's Brad Sundberg in the studio with MJ, hanging out with my buddy, seven-time Grammy winner, Brian Vibberts. Brian and I worked a lot with somebody by the name of Michael Jackson. Brian, what's something that you took away? What's something that maybe you learned from Michael that you like to share with people?
Yeah, I would say it's not something I learned directly from Michael, because I already had this, which is Michael's work ethic. But seeing the way he worked in the studio really made me, you know, realize how important that was. I mean, I already had that as a person. Or
man,
else
I am so sorry. I thought I muted this. I'm really, that's just the most unprofessional thing of the week. Hang on a second.
Oh, what did you do?
It rang again. So,
no, I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay, good.
Maddie will hear it.
My
that's okay.
All right, let me do that intro again. I apologize. Sure. Or actually, I think Maddie, just pick it up from here. I'm going to let Brian just pick it up. Something that you learned from Michael. My apologies.
Yeah. Actually, it's not something that I learned from Michael, because I already had it, you know, as how I work, and that's Michael's work ethic. It was hardworking every day, long hours. And it wasn't like, you know, he would come in for a few hours and, you know, okay, you guys do it. It was with us, you know, every day, long days, and until we got it right. And that really, it's important as an artist. You know, he was the one who was kind of steering the whole ship. So it's really something that I got from Michael and the session is that strong work ethic in the studio.
Awesome. Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We'll do the same kind of question with Bruce. But by the way, I can't remember how much of the footage that you saw. Yeah. Well, yeah. I showed a bunch.
I didn't
of the footage.
See a lot. I didn't see the you're talking about the film.
No, not the film, the stuff that I have.
I didn't see.
When I was in LA, I think I showed some of it.
Yeah, you showed the one in the studio, a playback in at Ocean Way.
Right. Yeah,
I saw that.
Okay. Yeah, there's some other pretty cool. It's actually really sweet. In fact, when we're in Madrid, this isn't part of our chat, obviously, but I know we're going to see that movie on Friday night.
Yeah.
And you haven't met Marcos, have you?
He was here in this room.
Marcos interviewed you. I'm being a complete idiot. Okay. I'm just not with it today. I'm almost afraid when he sees some of my footage.
What was he coming to the, in the studio?
Oh yeah. Well, we're going to go to his movie on Friday night.
Yeah, I know.
He'll be there, and then I'm sure he'll hang out.
How is he going to see your footage, though? I was wondering.
I mean, I'll show him. It's not a secret, but I'm just.
He'll be like, I need to recut the movie.
there's some really cool stuff in there, so I do feel kind of bad about that. All right, we'll talk about Bruce just for a second. I think I've introduced you enough times. Let's just jump in here.
Yeah.
Brian, tell me something. You and I both had the privilege of working with what I consider to be one of the best engineers on the planet, Mr. Bruce Swedien. What's like one memory or something that you learned from Bruce that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say the same, that Bruce was the best. So one of the things that I really learned from him, I mean, you know, I was with him day in, day out, you know, for over a year. So I got as much as I could, all the information that I could from Bruce, and really learning from the master, you know. Right. And one thing that I really, you know, took away from it was, it's better to get a great performance than to try to get a technically perfect recording. If you can, you know, and always be ready on that first take, the first time Michael would go in to sing or whatever it is, or the guitarist will go in to do a solo, have it ready, you know, great sound already for that first time through, because that may be the magical take. And so really, performance over being technically perfect.
Love it. The only thing I don't love is you're great. I'm just getting a teeny bit of robot. And we got a hurricane coming in. So I'm hoping I'm not.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I hear it a little bit in your voice. Okay. Just like one word here, there. Not that's it.
Yeah. It was, I mean, that was great. Maybe let's do it one more time. Just because if we can get one without the robot, that'd be great.
Sure.
It was only just for like two split seconds.
Okay. I'm going to, do one thing here.
Okay.
Trying to reduce fan noise.
Oh, you know what? I should probably.
It's over 100 degrees here.
Is it really?
Yeah, the air conditioning here is like trying to keep up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always that hot here, but we just have a giant hurricane coming in on us. So.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do that one more time. I'm going to ask about Bruce. Brian, you and I both had the privilege of working with one of the greatest engineers of all time, Mr. Bruce Swedien. What's like a takeaway? What's a tidbit that you took away from your time with Bruce?
Yeah, I learned a lot from Bruce over you know, a year working with him one-on-one in the room, in the studio. But I think one of the biggest things was that it's better to get a great performance from the artist, like, you know, Michael singing in the booth, than it is to get it technically perfect, you know, technically recorded perfectly. It's always the better performance over being technically perfect. That was a big takeaway for me.
I love that. I'll always be ready on the first take.
Always be ready on the first take. You never know. That could be the magical take.
Do you remember, I mean, once Bruce had a sound, he didn't noodle with it too much. Do you remember?
No, he wouldn't mess with it too much. He kind of knew a good starting place, especially with vocal. It would mostly be ready that first take.
Do you remember how calm he used to be? I mean, yeah. Seriously, as you know, as I've gotten older and I go back and I think about those sessions and you're recording, you know, whether it's a 90 piece orchestra, which is crazy stressful, or a Michael Jackson vocal where Michael's out in the dark and he's about to sing 20, 30, 40 tracks of vocals. And Bruce was just calm and cool.
Even though there was a lot of, there could be chaos, pressure, time pressure, all this going on. Yeah, he was always kind of just, yeah, calm and cool. And when he spoke to Michael over the talkback, you know, Michael would feel that, oh, everything's calm and cool in there, you know, when maybe it actually wasn't behind the scenes.
I mean, it's funny because this is part for promotion and part just stuff I'm thinking about, but I had a thought there about just remaining calm. Okay. I mean, that's something that, you know, when I do some of my lectures, especially for recording students, and I know you're going to be doing some teaching in Europe, is teaching them how to interact with a singer and how to really maintain that cool head.
Yeah.
Is that something you want to kind of elaborate on just for a second?
Yeah. We're in the studio to get the best performance, whether that's from a vocal or a soloist, a musician, an orchestra, whatever it is, you know, to keep it moving forward in a creative way and never have any kind of, you know, chaotic interference, really keeping the vibe creative. Right. Because that's when the best performances are recorded and performed.
Perfect. Love it. Let me just look here. Okay, we'll talk about comparing Michael with some of the other artists you've worked with. You don't have to trash on anybody, obviously.
Oh, it's gonna be. I'm gonna trash people.
grenade and aim at the bridge. Right. All right, Brian, walking around with 7 Grammys under your arms. You've worked with a lot of people. Just in a nutshell, can you compare what it's like working on a Michael Jackson session or somebody? Well, let me start again. Can you compare working on a Michael Jackson session versus, you know, some of the other artists you've worked with and how they carry on in a session?
Well, there's a lot of people that are obviously professional in the studio. There's hundreds of artists that are like that. But really, one thing that elevated Michael in a couple ways, besides, you know, the talent and creative side, one, the level of security that we had was enormous. That's unlike any other artist that I've really worked with. But the other thing is, we had the time to do it right. We could work on something, and you know, basically what it was is there was no real big budget constraint on us. Right. There was no one breathing down our neck like, okay, this has to be done in 2 days. Right. You know, Michael would give us things to do, and he may expect that the next day to be done. But if it wasn't totally correct, okay, we'll work on it some more. And it might take another 3 days, it might take a month. But there was never that pressure of, well, it absolutely has to be done on Friday.
Right.
You know, so I think that's probably the biggest difference.
Okay. I want to kind of stay on that same vein and maybe try and get one other angle. Brian, what would you say after working with Michael as much as you have and as much as I have, kind of the vibe of a session? You've worked with so many artists, and you were with Michael at a unique time in 1994, 95 in particular. What was the vibe of those sessions like, and maybe kind of your interplay with Michael compared to maybe some other artists that you've worked with?
Yeah, well, the vibe was always creative, and sometimes it was relaxed. I want to say overall relaxed. I mean, we had time to do it right. You know, we had time to get the mix right, or if we wanted to add, all of a sudden we wanted to add a children's choir, you know, obviously that would come from Michael. It'd be like, okay, when tomorrow we're going to record a children's choir. And then, you know, let's get the tapes for childhood back up and let's record a children's choir.
Right.
So those things could, you know, come up on a whim of like, you know, what would be good? Let's try this. Let's try that. And it always stayed creative. And I want to say mostly, you know, relaxed. You know, we could get done what we needed to get done and the right way.
Right.
A special time, really. I mean, it was incredible to be a part of.
Absolutely. How would you contrast that with, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus at all, but are there other artists that you can think of that maybe have that similar type of let's do it until it's right? Or was Michael kind of in a class by himself?
Yeah, he's one of few that kind of had that. There's been people along the way. I mean, Paul McCartney, I would say, would right. kind of be that, you know.
Right.
And I would say, you know, in the 90s, it would be different because the labels and the budgets were kind sure. of bigger for a lot of different artists. But now it's not really that way.
Really?
The budgets are, you know, we watch it much more strictly.
Okay. Interesting. Good stuff. Let's look here. Do you want to chat briefly about a couple songs without giving too much away?
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Is there any, I mean, I just threw a couple ideas, but is there a song in particular? Again, we're not going to give away the farm, but.
No.
Tell me a song title and then I'll ask you what song do you want to talk
about? Yeah. Okay. Scream.
Okay. So I'm going to kind of pose it as a question and say, is there a particular memory or something do you have?
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Okay. Let's try this. Brian, you worked on the entire History Project with us in New York with Michael Jackson. A lot of those songs had some pretty powerful messages and the way they were. I'm sorry, I'm going to start that all over again. Brian, you were with us from start to finish on the History Project in New York with Michael Jackson. The song Scream, it just jumps right off the record. What's maybe a top off the top of your head a memory that comes from that song?
That's easy. I would say, you know, Janet and Michael singing at the Hit Factory Studio 3 in the booth at the same time. It was, you know, that was fascinating to see. And, you know, for each one of them separately would be awesome, but to have two of them together there, you know, singing along, incredible. And we'll talk about that more.
Okay. I like that. I want to try to do it more time. I tripped over my words, so I'm going to try and do my part a little bit better. Brian, you were with us from beginning to end on the History Project with Michael Jackson in New York. The song Scream just jumps right off the starting line. What's a memory that you have, a special memory about that song?
That's easy. Seeing Janet and Michael singing in the booth together on that song at Hit Factory Studio 3, incredible. And we'll talk about that more in Madrid.
Oh, come on, man. You can't leave me hanging like that.
What? Yeah, but I can't tell a lot of the story on that.
All right. I like that direction. Let me just push it a little bit more. Let's see if Maddie can cut this in. So when they sang Scream, they were actually together in the booth at the same time. They didn't do it as two separate, his part, her part.
Well,
that was stupid. Let me do that one more time. I'm sorry. So when they sang Scream, they were actually together face to face in the booth at the same time.
For the chorus. Yes. For the chorus, let me get that because my voice cracked.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
For the chorus. Yes.
Okay.
But for the verses, they sang those separately, but for the choruses, Michael and Janet were in the booth together singing along.
Okay. So I'm almost going off topic here, but I'm really intrigued by this. When Michael was singing his part, was Janet in the control room with you?
I don't think so. I don't remember that part. I don't remember her being there when he was singing his verses.
Okay, so they did their verses. Was he there when she was singing?
Yeah, well, Janet did some of her vocals in Minneapolis.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, but they were together for the chorus vocals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, Maddie will come up with something with that.
Good luck, Maddie.
That was a mess. You did great. Is there another?
Too bad.
You want to do too bad? Okay.
Yeah, we'll do a small segment, you know.
Okay. No, I like it. Mm. I've got to set it up a little bit differently. Now, let me just jump into it. Brian, there's another song that let me start that again. Brian, I do a lot of events and I meet a lot of MJ fans, and it kind of surprises me. For a lot of people, their favorite MJ song is Too Bad, which is a pretty.
Well, yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah. What's a unique memory or something that you can take away from Too Bad?
When it was just an instrumental, there were no vocals on it yet. We just had the track and the groove and that, you know, awesome groove, right? Mm-hmm. And then, Michael would blast it. Of course, it was, you know, super loud. And it would just, we'd listen to like this 9-minute instrumental, and he'd kind of be like dancing along in the studio, in the control room. And then after a while, even Bruce Swedeen would be like dancing in his chair.
Moving his shoulder.
Yeah, moved his shoulder. Yeah. So, you know, memories like that are priceless, but it was incredible. But yeah, incredible groove.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That was good. I don't have really an ending for it. Cause I know you want to hold off on all the stories. Let's see. Let's do Too Bad one more time.
Do you want to do a pickup for your ending?
I don't know. I mean, do you want to go into any more detail about the song or what Michael was thinking, or without giving too much away?
I'd have to think about that more. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what, I don't know what Michael.
I don't either. I'm just shooting from the hip here.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your mixing session that you're going to do in Madrid. I'll kind of throw you a soft pitch and you take it and run with it for a minute or so. Brian, we're giving some of our guests a really unique opportunity. It's not often they get to hang out with a 7-time Grammy winner. You're a remarkably talented guy. Tell me just a little bit about what they're going to get when they come to your mixing session.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate that. This is going to be a really special opportunity because I'm going to show like the individual tracks. And when I say track, I mean like instruments. So the individual, just the drums and just the lead vocal only, or just the guitar. And together we'll see how the mix was built on you know, possibly like a song like Scream. And I'll show these different elements of the mix and how they go together, and in the studio how the mix is built from all these different pieces. It's fascinating to see. I mean, I do it like every day, but for someone that hasn't seen this before, it is really fascinating of hearing all the different elements just on their own and how they all, you know, interplay.
Now, is this something where your guests have to be really, you know, have to be like trained musicians and really understand engineering? I mean, is it going to be really complicated and technical?
No, not at all. No, I mean, I can give a complicated one, but that's not what we're doing here. We're going to be going through and it's mostly listening, and they're going to be simple concepts, but it'll be something that everyone understands. And if it's something that people have a question about, certainly they can ask questions and I'll be answering them. But no, you don't need to be an engineer. You just have to be someone who loves music.
Awesome. Well, I for one cannot wait to watch you show us what you do when we're in the studio together in Madrid.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Madrid.
Awesome. Let's cut that in now for Brussels. Well, I'm excited. I cannot wait to see what you're going to do for our guests that come to Brussels and watch you mix in a studio.
It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see Brussels.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. I haven't been paying attention. Well, have you gone for like 40 minutes? Holy cow. Maddie's going to kill me. I said, oh,
we've covered a lot. We've done pretty good.
No, man, I really appreciate it.
Is there anything else that we need to?
I don't think so. Brussels, Madrid. I think we're good. Is there anything else you can think of?
Not really. I think we've done enough of the one-liners for them, right?
I think so.
Brussels.
I think so.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, Maddie, you know, again,
I think it's a good amount of material.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going to use maybe 10% of it, but just enough so we can kind of throw a couple TikToks together and something. So,
all right, man. First time on TikTok.
I know you need to get on.
I don't know. It's just one more thing to do.
We're up to, I'm trying. I'm like at three thresholds on Facebook. I'm at just under 25,000 followers.
That's awesome.
And thank you. And I hate to brag, but I've earned every one of those. I mean, there's no bare midriffs. There's no like cheats. It's just been like work, mm-hmm. just pushing it up a hill. Instagram's, what's that?
It's not easy.
It's not. Instagram, we're creeping up on 10,000 and TikTok, I think we're at about 8,000. TikTok's grown the fastest, but they're crazy people. Maddie calls them the babies. We can't offend the babies. Got to feed the babies. Facebook, I can just write a long story and they're right there with me, but TikTok, it's got to just move.
Right.
That's fun. So we'll drag you into the world of TikTok at some point and
nice.
get you involved. Cool. Anything else? You understood, you know, my silly little note about what to bring and what to expect.
Oh, all that was great.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, very helpful.
Yeah. Just don't worry about a visa. You're not there to work.
Right.
Don't say a word. I bring sightseeing. What's that?
I'm sightseeing.
Exactly. I bring t-shirts and stuff, but they never give me a bad time. So far, so good. And you're up to date on your COVID. That's almost a non-issue anymore, but it's still a good idea to have it.
Yeah.
So,
And I need to have that. I need to get it electronically on my phone. I don't have it on my phone yet. QR code,
whatever it is. I think you're right. I think Deb did that.
I have cards, but I'd rather have just on my phone digitally.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Outside of that, ticket. Believe it or not, I was about 2 weeks ago. I was sweating bullets just a little bit. Madrid was slow, not because of you. It's just, you know, it's an expensive ticket and the economy is still pretty rough over there. Mm. But in the past week, it's kicked up nicely. So good. Tony and Laura, I'm sorry, you did meet them, right?
Were they in LA?
I don't know.
At one point.
I think so. So who came to your studio? Just Marcos?
Oh. Well, gee, you know, I'm not sure. She was part of that crew, I didn't. I don't. I mean, there was six people here.
Well, you I should think have seen that.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like, you know, sound guy, the film, the B guy, B roll, the guy. Just like, this room is not big enough for like, you know, seven people, including me.
But that was them. It had to have been. Yeah. Laura's taller than Tony. She's got straight black hair. Very pretty.
Yeah. So I guess they were. Yeah. I guess I just didn't realize it.
Well, you probably didn't put it all together. That
yeah,
they're kind of my Spanish connection.
Yeah.
So, They are, I mean, the coolest, sweetest people. They work hard. So they're, in fact, I think she's got a venue for us. She's struggling getting a gig for you.
I know. You
read the note.
Yeah, I'm hoping she gets one, but if it's none, then whatever. I still have the one in Paris, so you know it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I think the schools are just intimidated by you a little bit, but I'm gonna, you know, I'll write her again, and I mean, even if we can just get you, I don't know if she gets one for me, I'll bring you. I mean, I don't care, but. Yeah, I think they're just intimidated. I'm a nobody, but a 7-time Grammy winner Brian Vibbert's comes to town, and man, but it'll be fun. I think, and I know we talked about this. I'm going to pay for your hotel, whatever it is, the days that we're working, and then
there's only a couple. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I 3 nights, whatever it is, and then I want to be 100% fair. You know, you don't need to be out of pocket anything for being there with me. So, I mean, you'll be eating Cheetos, but
off brand.
Here's your dinner.
Yeah,
here's your box of Cheerios. You like seafood?
Yeah, I like seafood.
Okay, I mean,
I don't get crazy with it, but I mean, you know.
Not so much sushi, but I mean, the shellfish.
Well, sushi I'm fine with.
Okay, yeah, the shellfish and stuff in Madrid is great, so. All right, man. Well, I think
I have a question on, yep. I'm thinking, do we need 2 songs for the mixing part of it? Because it's kind of a bigger block from what I saw in your schedule, or does that block of time, the mixing part and you and I, you know, having, you know, whatever banter of stories and all that stuff,
right?
Do I need more than one song or no?
I think it might be a good idea to have 2,
because I was thinking maybe Scream and maybe if I have, I've been looking at it to see if I have enough to make it work, maybe Thriller.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So maybe Scream and Thriller. Scream, you know, obviously I was there for, but Thriller is such a special track. Yeah.
Well, and it's a week before Halloween. So,
right.
Yeah, I would.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like it. I would, and even if we only do one, I think it's still a good idea to have 2.
Have 2 just in case.
Yeah, because I'm don't take this the wrong way, but if we start to lose them, or if it starts getting a little, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I can't go that deep into the mixing part, really.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like what we did in LA with you. You're going to be on stage, right? And like interject a question here and there.
I would imagine. Yeah.
It seems to work better.
It's your gig, but yeah, I'm very comfortable kind of being the MC or whatever. So
Once in a while, just interject part of a question or a story, exactly. Or think something that I think it works well that way. I think it's better for the people attending.
No, okay. Well, I appreciate that. I don't want to take the spot from you at all.
But, I don't consider that.
Okay. So yeah, I would probably do, I think Scream and Thriller is a good call, and you know,
they're both kind of Halloween-ish.
Yeah, it's true. And you and I are used to hearing, you know, you in particular hearing, you know, a song, you know, for 9 hours, and it's just work. For them, maybe hearing a song for an hour is going to be like, okay, I get it.
It's not, an hour is going to be a long time here.
Right. So I think Thriller would be kind of a fun transition. Because it's more, you know, it's a fun song. Everybody loves it. And, you know, we can even talk about it a little bit, hearing the difference, you know, in his voice, you know, how much his voice changed from, that was age 23, I think, when he sang Thriller, to probably 32, something like that, when he was doing, probably 23 to 33, something like that. I'm guessing. But yeah, stuff like that, I think people would enjoy hearing,
right?
How his voice changed over the years.
Mm.
So, yep. No, okay. I like
it. I'll make sure that I have everything that I need for Thriller. I think I do. I just want to make sure it's complete. I actually had the kind of preparing that earlier today.
Right.
Scream's already prepared, so I just have to look at Thriller.
Okay. You don't have Smooth, do you?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I
wish I had Stranger in Moscow, but I don't have that one either. Because I thought that would that has very cool elements in it, but I don't.
I mean, I think I have the stems from that, but I don't think I have the raw tracks.
Mm.
I don't even.
I mean, for Scream, really, what I have they're kind of stems. They're
right.
Not really the raw tracks, but they're enough. They feel like the raw tracks. I mean, no one knows.
I don't even know where some of that stuff comes from. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't want to ask. I don't want to know.
The vault is pretty secure. I mean,
yeah, I don't understand.
You and I both know the guys over there. So every now and then something how just it happens. Gets out. So, all right, man. Always good seeing you. I know we'll talk 10 more times, but we're going to push hard for Madrid.
And, yeah.
And even Brussels is chugging along. I've got to reach out to that studio, but yeah, we should be in good shape.
Great, excellent! So, I can't wait. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, yeah, you're gonna like Tony and Laura, and it'll be a fun weekend. So
yeah,
and it's your first time in Paris, right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to like mainland Europe actually. I've been to England and Scotland, but I haven't. Okay. Well, so it's gonna be cool.
Good, and you booked your flight, right? You booked your flight?
Yeah. But I have to say, a week ago,
yeah.
I got an email from the airline saying, sorry, there's been a change in your flight. This affects you. And I'm like, what? So I looked and it's like completely canceled. Like they don't fly there anymore. I'm like, what? So then I started, making phone calls and all that stuff. And I mean, I still don't have 100% of the, but it's the Italian Airlines, Italia, whatever.
Yeah, Alitalia. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But Delta does the flight.
Okay.
From LA, even though it's still under the Italian Airlines.
Okay.
But so I called the Italian Airlines. I said, no, that the flight, they still had my booking and the confirmation number, and they're like, all is good.
Huh.
So I'm like, okay, well, I don't understand what's good. So I'm not sure what plane I get on yet. I guess I'm not getting on a Delta plane. It's getting on the, I need to call again, but
okay.
A little bit of craziness. Cause I fly to Rome and then connecting flight from Rome to Madrid. I'm on my world tour here.
You'll have fun. I'm excited, man. I'll give you a taste of it, and so like a little bird, I'll throw you out of the nest and go, all right, come on, you do. No, I mean, I think you getting in with I always say it with JP, Jean-Pierre, yeah, whatever his name is, at Abbey Road.
Jean-Philippe.
Jean-Philippe, yeah. I mean, that's going to be a good door opener for you.
Right.
And
The other one that you had mentioned,
SAE.
Yes, that's right. Because they have so many locations.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
They don't pay quite as well. But even for my little lecture, I always do it as a trade. You know, I'll do a lecture for them, and then I get to use one of their rooms for 2 days. And for me, it works out perfect, because then I just sell tickets for my thing.
Yeah.
But if it's something you want to do, and you have the pedigree to do it, you could, now that things are opening up again, I don't see why you couldn't start clicking those things out once in a while if you want.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I love the travel. It's just, it's something I enjoy. Not everybody likes sleeping on a plane, but I like it. It's just a fun little hobby for me. So,
yeah.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to stop this before I lose it. I'm going to not screw this up. I'm going to